A Playlist Original.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is Meetu.
And my name is BJ.
And this week, we're watching Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix.
So stay tuned to find out who Meetu's favorite Formula One driver is.
The only one I was familiar with. We can reveal that at the end. So in Formula One Drive to Survive, we as viewers get an exclusive look at the team and spirit behind Formula One racing, including covering the lives of drivers, managers, and team owners. In this first episode, we follow former Red Bull team member Daniel Ricciardo, former Haas team member Kevin Magnussen, and Haas team principal Günther Steiner.
So Meetu, before we even watch this documentary, what did you know about Formula One as a sport?
Two things. I had heard of Lewis Hamilton, which, spoiler, was my favorite race car driver because it's the only one I knew about. He's very handsome and that's really it. And then I knew that Eve, the rapper, and her husband, Maximilian, dabbles in racing. I don't know if it's Formula One, but I believe I remember reading that he dabbles in racing and his name is Maximilian and he's super rich. So I just remember thinking it was funny that a man named Maximilian dabbles in such a wealthy hobby and then feeling happy for Eve for landing such a man. And that's it. That's what I'm bringing to the table. So, Beach, same question back at you.
All I knew was it was an expensive sport. I heard during the pandemic, some of the drivers started doing virtual racing in these very elaborate home setups with wheels and pedals to simulate the experience. And I think some NASCAR drivers did that as well. And I did know Red Bull had a team.
Both you and I, as evidenced by these very sad responses for what we were familiar with, clearly came into this unaware of the world of Formula One racing. This show was recommended to us by one of our listeners. We were literally driven to watch this by other people. Oh, I didn't even realize I was doing that pun. How did you feel about the stakes in this, given this is a sport that you and many other people are not familiar with?
Going into this, I didn't realize how high the stakes would be. For Formula One, we learned very quickly that it is a small community. There are only 10 teams, 2 drivers per team, so only 20 drivers, and they are competing against each other around the world for a championship, and you really feel the pressure and the stress. We'll talk a little bit more about what happens with the Haas team in this first episode, but you get emotionally invested because you see how much pressure and passion everyone on the team has. Also, even though there's 2 drivers, there are hundreds of people on a team because that's how much support it takes to race these cars.
Speaking of support, there is significant financial support in addition to staff. You and I both gasped. And I actually wanted to rewind to make sure that I had heard correctly that hundreds of millions of dollars go into this. So Günther convinced a wealthy benefactor to start the Haas team, of which he is principal. And when he was talking about his team, he described it as though they were this bootstrapping team. And it's because they raise something like $140 million a year for what they do. And they have a staff of 212 people, which is the budget and staff of a major corporation. And instead is one scrappy team. We learn that by comparison, Mercedes, a very successful team with Lewis Hamilton as one of their drivers, a multi-time champion, has a budget of $500 to $600 million a year. And they joke with Günther when he tells them that his staff is a total of 212 people, that Mercedes sends 212 people on vacation at a time.
Which is wild.
I know this is a world of wealth and a wealthy hobby and something that wealthier people, in addition to others, follow, but I just did not realize the amount of resources that go into it. And when you think about it, I guess because the cars are Ferraris and Aston Martins and this and that, but I just did not at all perceive the cost of it and the amount of people power that goes into it.
There is a lot of research and development in making faster cars each year. So I'm sure there's a huge chunk invested in making your car faster, as well as all of these races are around the world. And we see in this first episode them packing up a car and putting it in a plane to ship out to the next race. And that has to be expensive as well.
We can get into the devastation that happened in episode one. And I'm sorry, listeners, I know we avoid spoilers, but this one just feels too big to not talk about.
It's the 2018 season. We can tell them.
In this pilot episode, Kevin Magnussen, one of the Haas drivers, pulls into the pit stop to change his tires or whatever else you do to a car in one of these races. And they switch him out in an amount of time that, again, BJ and I gasped. Truly, like, this is a TikTok transition. There is no way that you are switching the things out in a car in this amount of time. I guess they do these pit stops in that amount of time. But in this case, unfortunately, you and I were right that they did not do it thoroughly enough. And Kevin Magnussen's back left tire was too loose, and so the car wouldn't go. Which is really cool that, I don't know if that's a fail-safe or something, but the car would not proceed on the race.
Yeah, it protected him somehow. It knew that the tire wasn't properly attached, and so he had to stop his car. But then the other horrible thing that happened was this same error at the pit stop was repeated with his teammate right after, like shortly after.
Kevin and his teammate got such good times after the first lap that Gunther stepped out to call the benefactor and be like, I think we're going to rank fourth and fifth. This is huge for our team, blah, blah, blah. We had this record-breaking 1 point, blah, 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 second, first lap. And that was all out. He had to call him back a matter of minutes later, it seems, to say both racers are out. And then the other disappointing thing was Daniel Ricciardo is from Perth, Australia. This race takes place in Melbourne. So this show follows him as a new Red Bull driver. And a lot of his family and friends are in that crowd. And he just gets edged out from third to fourth. So he doesn't go to the stage.
It was disappointing. But at least his car finished the race.
That's true. At least all the wheels were firmly on there. BJ and I were joking, but I just can't imagine the devastation that Kevin and that other driver were feeling. Because it's one thing if you can blame yourself. It's another when there's this helplessness of the pit crew unfortunately messed up. And one of the reasons was they said that they were tired. They didn't have enough time to practice over the weekend. And there's, again, fatigue amongst the team. And you know that if they had five times the staff, like other crews, there wouldn't be that same issue of fatigue leading to mistakes.
That's a good point. If you had five times as many pit crew people, you could switch them out so no one ever exhausted and wouldn't make these, what I'm guessing is a very simple mistake.
I mean, they must be almost muscle memory at this point.
It must be embarrassing to do something like that. And then it hurts even more and stings for the drivers and everyone on the team, because you know exactly whose job it was on the pit stop to put on the back left tire. But no one's probably going to say their name, but you're just like, I know it was you.
I don't know if it was for the cameras, but the team principal, Gunther, and the head of the pit crew both just tried to take the blame on themselves. But because it's so ordered, there's no way it's not like Tom every time fastening that fourth bolt to the tire. You know, there's no way they don't know exactly who it was. So I'm not sure if it was team loyalty or maybe the cameras were there. So they just were a lot kinder than they may have been toward the one or two people who definitely did the thing wrong.
I think the cameras might have played a role, but I also think in the moment, everyone was so upset. Even Kevin didn't want to do an interview. So I think they all knew they needed to cool off. This was a disappointment for the entire Haas team. And then they could talk about it the next day or something.
And I typically don't feel sorry for people of means. Like, it has to take very good stakes for me to care about the people participating in a wealthy sport that I didn't really know much about prior to today. And so it's a testament to how well it's produced that I really care. I think the same stakes with different production and pacing, I wouldn't have cared as much. But they found the right people and the right way to tell the story that I was like, oh no, the tire. Oh no, he just got a blah, blah, blah time. Ah, oh, you know, and I just really was invested.
It's true. The whole time we started to care more and more. In the beginning, we start with Daniel learning a little bit about how he got into the sport. So while we were watching, we looked up Daniel. We learn about his teammate, Max. Then we were like, okay, Max is the newcomer. Come to find out that in present, Max is a top tier driver. And then we learn about the other teams. We start exploring more about Lewis Hamilton, finding out how he has been dominating the sport.
I literally thought he was very popular internationally. This is so ignorant of me. Because he's hot, he is a black driver, and there are, I assume, not many black people in that sport. And I believe he was linked to some U.S. celebrity, which is the only reason why I would have heard of him. And apparently, he's also very popular because he's just the best.
Funny how that works.
I mean, BJ was like, oh, he won a championship like a couple of years ago. And we were like, oh, good. You know, that's good that he has one under his belt. And then you were like, oh, I actually misread this. And he won in this year. Yeah.
That just shows we started to become interested in the lives of these drivers. And I think that's what helps suck you into this show, because you want to know more about them, their careers, what's going to happen in these races. And we just wanted to know more about Formula One. You even revealed the shocking statistics to us about their salaries.
Yes, y'all, get behind the wheels of your cars. Don't do this in your cars, actually. Go to a facility and learn, because this sport pays money if you are the top 20-something people in the world who do it. We learned that Lewis Hamilton's contract is worth $30 million, estimated. The Max, the person from the Red Bull team who has now grown to be this huge player in the world, his contract was worth around $25 million and then down from there. I was shocked by those numbers.
Yeah, even Daniel's making big money.
Yes, his contract was worth around $15 million, I believe.
So I guess his parents really are proud of him.
Speaking of Daniel's parents, that's another reason I was devastated. Not just because that race was in Melbourne, so family and friends from Perth could come, but also specifically because he knew his parents were in the crowd. And when he talked about his journey to racing, he talked about the sacrifices his parents made for him to get involved in this sport, especially his father. So you could see that he was not happy to meet with them after the race in fourth place versus in third, where he would have been on stage. And he was just edged out.
And they show a close-up of his mother when he finishes the race, when they announce he's in fourth. And she's like, oh, like she's happy, but she's also still very disappointed, which makes sense because he did well, but he didn't hit the top three. He didn't get the first place position. And his goal is to be a world champion.
A champion he already is with the $15 million contract. But still, because of the producing of that show, because of how well they get us invested in his story, I cared. I was so sad that his parents were sad and he was sad, doubly because of his own performance, but also because that performance took place in front of his parents.
But he still has time. He's still racing. We're not going to tell you about his 2019 and 2020 career, but he hasn't given up just because of this first race where he got fourth place.
Yes, there's more in store for the young racer. So, Beej, is there more in store for you? Do you want to watch more episodes of Formula One Drive to Survive on Netflix?
You know, I never thought I would hear myself say this sentence, but I would watch again casually. Formula One never stuck out as something I even felt the need to pay attention to. I think one of the things that made this more exciting than the actual sport is we are not watching the entire race. I think if it was like NASCAR, where I just watched the race, I would not be as interested. But because I get to see the people, I get to see clips from the race, that makes it more entertaining for me. And that's why I would watch again. How do you feel?
I think the least interesting part for me was the cars going around in a circle. They just did a great job of getting us invested in the people to the point where we're rooting for them, whether or not we understand the context of what we're rooting for. Because if they had followed the other drivers in the same way, then honestly, perhaps I would have been thrilled that the Haas team was disqualified because some other driver was able to get ahead. That storytelling was just surprisingly good. So I would watch again casually. I think this is a show that I will have in my rotation now to watch on weekends. Tire rotation, rotation. Is it too soon for that joke?
Yeah, that one didn't work as well.
Neither did those tires. Ba-dum-bum.
Shh. Oh. Ouch.
But seriously, whether or not you are racing Hive, I would recommend this show to you because I didn't know anything about cars and I still liked it.
Yeah, you don't need to understand the cars. They're just fast and dangerous.
So where can people find more episodes of our show, some of which may be fast and dangerous?
You know how we go. You can find more of our reviews by heading to our website at thepilotpodcast.com and be sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platforms.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at thepilotpod, and you can send thoughts, feelings, show recommendations. Thank you very much to the listener who recommended this show to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.